If we turn in God's Word to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 23, Proverbs 23 verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with the ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, the table of the prince, the table of the ruler. Here is a proverb that I would like to leave with you as we sit at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ to partake of the meal there together. Now, you will know that I'm taking the text out of its immediate context, because the ruler here is an earthly ruler, and the ruler here is not a good ruler. The ruler is a carnal ruler, and the fur is carnal and sumptuous. And the meal is ensnaring and harmful. It is an atmosphere of power to, by the meal, get influence over people to encourage them to do wrong. So it is an atmosphere of power, and the table in the context is seductive in an endeavor to ensnare people at the table, to buy them, to influence them, for the ruler to get them on their side, to seduce them to do things that are wrong. And the carnal meal is kind of a bribe and snaring that would do that. And so thus the text continues, put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So there's deceitful meat at this ruler's table. And the context is one of warning to those who would come to such a table. And we're not then using this verse 1 in that context. You would know that. We're using it by way of contrast. There is no deceitful meat here at the table of the Lord Jesus. There is nothing harmful, nothing gluttonous, nothing bribing, nothing seductive, nothing intoxicating. And so we're using it by way of contrast. So keep that in mind. But our ruler, our prince, does have a table. And we sit at it with him. And we do so tonight. So from these words, consider the prince, the ruler. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a ruler. He is a governor. He is one who has authority. He is a prince and a king. Him hath God exalted at his own right hand to be a prince and a saviour. He is the one who has dominion and authority. He is the one to whom the Lord has said, sit thou at my right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool. Peter says he's gone into the heavens and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So he is the ruler of rulers. He is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. So our Lord Jesus Christ is a prince, and he is a ruler, and we have to remember that when we come to his table, that we come to one who has awesome dominion. But then secondly, consider the place. Quite obviously, there is a reference here to a table. The place when thou sittest to eat with the ruler. The word table isn't used. Whenever you sit to eat, you have in mind a table. That's the place. You don't sit and eat anywhere else. Certainly not in old times. Modern times, you eat on the go. But you normally eat at a table. So there's a place here. The ruler has a place of eating. The ruler has a place to which he invites his people to eat. And he welcomes them. And in the Bible, that is the name of the communion table. It's called the Lord's table. It's the table of the ruler. It's the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a table. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord left us, that he didn't forsake us altogether, but he gives us a table where we meet with him and where we can have fellowship with him, a table that is accessible by us. So the prince, our prince, could not leave us without this. He could not go away to God's right hand and forget this. And so he leaves a table for his servants. And we come to meet with one another and with him there. And that's the third thing. There's a presence. Not only a prince and a place, but a presence. Because we truly meet with the ruler at his table. You notice what the text says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler. So he's very definitely present in the text. It's not a table without the company of the prince. Now normally the servants of a prince or a ruler have their own table. And it's usually stuck away in the basement of the mansion, in the kitchen. And the table of the prince is up in the mansion and he's there, as it were, on his own. And they're serving him. And whenever they eat, they have to eat on their own, down in the kitchen. The servants have their table, but no prince to sit with. But at this table, the thing is, they sit with the prince. They sit with the ruler. He's there. He's with them. He is very much present in their midst. And they're gathered around him. And we know that that is the case at this table, that we meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is a true communion taking place with Christ. He's present. He's present in the emblems. He's present at the table by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so he is very much there. But then fourthly, there is also the posture. When thou sittest to eat with the ruler. You see, they sit. They recline. That's what you do at the table. Servants normally stand in the presence of their prince. He sits. They stand. He sits. They serve. But here, they sit with him at the table. And that's very important that God's people sit at the table. I know that traditions have changed over the years. People stand to pray. Some sit to pray. But at the table, everybody sits. They sit with Christ at the table. It's a very important posture. To sit together thus is a sign of something. It's a sign of friendship. It's a sign of all being brethren together. It's a sign of acceptance. A sign of rest. It's a family occasion. It's a joyful occasion. It's a time of fellowship, a time of warmth, joy and gladness. What did the Apostle Paul say? He raised us up together in his grace. He's done something in his marvelous grace. He's taken us out from the far place. He's brought us to himself. We were dead. He's quickened us. He's raised us up. And how is it all finalized? He made us sit together in the heavenly places. So we sit with him in the kingdom. Around his table, we sit. Very definitely we do so. And there is meaning in that. Wonderful family atmosphere. A wonderful unity. Just a good time with our prince. And then consider the participation. When thou sittest to eat, they sit to eat, you see. They sit to partake to eat and to drink, not just to look, not just to see and smell and wish, but to participate in the meal, to eat. Jesus says, take, eat. He wants us to eat at the table. He gives the cup. He says, drink, drink. So he wants us to participate, to partake. He brings us into the banqueting house that we may indulge ourselves in what he has laid on the table for us. But now we come to the heart of the matter. Consider the preparation. The preparation, not so much on the prince's side. No doubt there was much preparation, we know, for him to make the table and to lay the table. His body to be broken, his blood to be shed, so that we may have the table thus laid. There was much preparation on his part, on his side. But we're talking of the preparation on the side of the partakers of what the prince has provided. And notice how it is couched in these words. The whole weight lies here. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And that really is the whole weight of this text. When? Consider diligently what is before thee. Whenever you sit with the prince, whenever you're with the prince at his table, that's something that you have to do. There has to be preparation. There has to be consideration. Not ordinary consideration, but diligent consideration. Consider diligently what is before thee. So the Lord's table certainly requires this. The prince's table. We can't come to it without careful consideration. We can't come to it without some recognition of what is involved in all of that and what is before us. You know, Christians shouldn't just come and eat and go away and, you know, be mindless about it all. No, you can't come to the Lord's table like that. It's the table of the prince. You have to consider diligently. And so Christians don't come to the Lord's table and then kind of go through it as a thoughtless, careless ritual. Such a table deserves more than that. It deserves careful consideration. There is something about it that should draw forth our wonder and our most sacred contemplations. Now, of course, the context, as I reminded you at the start, is one of warning. Because it's a seductive table in the immediate context, and it's one of warning. Whenever you come to such a table, consider diligently what's before thee. Before you partake. We come to the Lord's table, it is not without warning. Whenever the apostle Paul was writing about the Lord's table to the Corinthians, there was something happening in the Corinthian church about the communion feast that was irreverent. Something that wasn't just quite right, and there were many people sick in the Corinthian church, largely because of what was happening at the communion table. And so he wrote a warning. The Lord's table is not without its dangers. Remember, he said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So there are dangers, and we have to prepare our hearts and be warned of these dangers. But those dangers should not prevent us from coming. They should just make us careful in coming. That we come sincerely that we carry out the text, even in those words, consider diligently, that we come with humility, that we come with faith in Christ, and that we come in obedience to him, and we come with true repentance. We don't come sinless, but we come humbled because of our sins and desire to have them cleansed and to receive grace to overcome them. And so Paul says, let a man examine himself, let him consider diligently, and so let him eat and drink. And if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So there is this preparation that God's people have to engage in. What is it that you are to consider diligently about the Lord's table? You are to consider what it is that is before you. You are to consider what it is on the Lord's, on the table. The bread and the cup. You're to discern the Lord's body. You're to consider what it represents, what it pictures, what it's about. You're to consider how Christ died for you, how his body was broken for you. Consider diligently how his blood was shed for you. You can't come to these things without this. Without careful meditation upon what the Lord has done for you. Consider diligently what he has given for you himself. Consider diligently what he has gone through at Calvary. Consider diligently what you are to taste here at this table. The Lord wants you to taste things at his table. And as I said, there are no deceitful meats here. There's nothing that can do your heart any harm. Only good. You taste here good things. Consider diligently what is laid before you. Consider diligently that here you get a taste of a sweet Savior. Here you get a taste of Calvary love. Here you get a taste of his grace, a taste of his pardoning love for all your sins. Here you get a taste of his adopting love that has brought you into his family. And so you are to consider what all the wonderful things that you have in the Lord Jesus. Consider diligently what he's done for you. Eat and drink. Yeah, drink abundantly. And rejoice fully in your wonderful Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. So may these few words be a preparation for your heart to come to the Lord's table and participate and enjoy and taste and see that the Lord is good. So let us hear the words then of the institution. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.